Happy Wednesday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dowd, present our macro minute for Wednesday, April 1st, 2026. Hope you're having a great week. So as always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's leadoff morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is it safe to chase the rally? Our answer is yes, if you're unable to control your action bias. No, if you or your client's goal is to retire on time and comfortably. Retirement-focused investors should only chase rallies during risk-on market regimes to eliminate the risk of destabilizing type 2 errors. Here are the most important things we learned today regarding the six key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets on a trend basis, starting with the growth cycle. In the U.S., the weak positive impulses in headline retail sales, core retail sales, and auto sales supported our resilient U.S. economy and paradigm C themes. The final March manufacturing PMI data did as well. In China, the final March manufacturing PMI data did not support our outlook for firming growth. In the Eurozone, the final March manufacturing PMI data did not support our outlook for moderating growth, but the February unemployment rate data did. In Japan, the Q1 Tokken survey and the final March manufacturing PMI data did not support our outlook for firming growth. And finally, in the UK, the final March manufacturing PMI data supported our outlook for moderating growth. Regarding the inflation cycle, President Trump stated the U.S. will only evaluate a ceasefire with Iran contingent on the Strait of Hormuz being reopened, signaling a conditional pathway to terminating the conflict. President Trump posted on Wednesday that, quote, Iran's new regime president has just asked the United States of America for a ceasefire in all caps, with no clarity regarding corroboration that Tehran has offered an unconditional cessation of hostilities. He goes on to say, we will consider when the Strait of Hormuz is open, free, and clear. Until then, we are blasting Iran into oblivion, or as they say, back to the Stone Ages, President Trump, he declared. Recall that throughout the conflict, POTUS has oscillated between endorsing a diplomatic resolution and threatening escalation. Indeed, today's remarks follow prior signaling from President Trump, indicating a preference to conclude the conflict expeditiously, i.e. within 2 to 3 weeks. He further noted that Tehran could strike a deal with the U.S. within that same time frame, while emphasizing that such an agreement is not a necessary condition for ending the war. So he's been back and forth on this just in the past 48 hours. Iranian President Masoud, I'm not even pretend to pronounce his name, stated Tuesday to the European Council President Antonio Costa that Iran has, quote, the necessary will to end this war, conditional on specific requirements being satisfied. Iran's conditions include a full cessation of attacks, termination of hostilities involving Iran-aligned regional proxies, guarantees against future aggression, reparations, and most importantly, formal recognition of sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz. Each of these terms is broadly viewed as non-starters for the U.S. and Israel. President Trump was scheduled to deliver a 9 p.m. Eastern Time address, providing a, quote, important update on Iran, reiterated the possibility of a bilateral agreement with Tehran. So from my vantage point, it very clearly seems that, Iran's, kind of dug in with its, position in terms of what they need to see to agree to a formal ceasefire. And by far the most important of those conditions is formal recognition of their sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz, which will allow them to impose a, kind of an extra legal, tolling regime, if you will. And so that, that's in my view, that's a positive delta on the margins because it'll ultimately allow those trapped barrels of crude oil to actually flow through the Strait, albeit at a higher price, which, is a boost to inflation relative to, what had been a starting point for generally expecting disinflation across the world, prior to this conflict. So higher price barrels equals more inflation, but barrels flowing equals the end of the risk-off market regime, in our opinion, in the context of the global liquidity crisis dynamics that we have been highlighting from a capital account perspective in recent weeks. So positive at the margins from a liquidity cycle perspective, negative at the margins from a sustained inflation pricing perspective. So hopefully that's clear. Nothing actionable with respect to our Bayesian priors with regards to the monetary policy cycle. Fiscal policy. President Trump is actively weighing U.S. withdrawal from NATO following its refusal to support U.S. military operations against Iran. He characterized NATO as a, quote, paper tiger and indicated a U.S. exit from the alliance is now, quote, beyond reconsideration. Recall that POTUS's demand for NATO participation in the Iran conflict has intensified scrutiny of Article 5, the alliance's mutual defense clause stipulating collective response obligations. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, speaking on Fox News ahead of the president's interview, stated that the U.S. must re-examine NATO membership after the conflict. I think there's no doubt, unfortunately, after this conflict is concluded, that we're going to have to re-examine that relationship. If NATO is just about us defending Europe if they're attacked, but them denying us basing rights when we need them, that's not a very good arrangement. That's a hard one to stay engaged in. So this is very important in the context of our core research view, which is that there is a geopolitically driven supply-demand imbalance in the U.S. Treasury bond market. If the U.S. and NATO somehow splinter apart, that ultimately means Europe's going to have to even accelerate its expenditures on defense and critical infrastructure well beyond what we discussed yesterday, and ultimately the flow of capital that has historically been from Europe to the U.S. will reverse at the margins in a way that is hazardous to the treasury bond market. Recall that Europe, when you aggregate the Eurozone economies, their exposure to the U.S. treasury market is about 8 to 10% of total. On a base of 31 to 32% foreign ownership in the marketable treasury securities market. So if Europe is going to have to spend more money on its own defense and critical infrastructure, then ultimately you're going to have less of a consistent bid for U.S. treasuries at the margin emanating from across the pond, which ultimately means that the supply-demand imbalance is that the debt disequilibrium is going to go wider over time, which is something we've already called out in the context of our macro scouting report presentations, our monthly presentations for years now. And in our view, this dynamic, the splintering of the relationship to the extent that it results in Europe having to spend more money, more of their own money, instead of giving it to us, to pay for our Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare, and all the other things that we're spending money on for the U.S. government. That's going to be a big dynamic in terms of the geopolitically driven supply demand imbalance in the treasury bond market. Shifting to the liquidity cycle, Wells Fargo has deployed over $200 billion into the U.S. repo market following the removal of its asset cap, materially alleviating structural liquidity stress in funding markets. The bank's primary dealer asset base surged 68% year over year, significantly outpacing peers, with its secured financing footprint reaching the highest level since attaining primary dealer status in 2016. Activity in the $12 trillion U.S. repo market is accelerating amid the absorption of Wells Fargo's incremental balance sheet capacity, dampening typical quarter-end stress episodes and mitigating systemic volatility alongside the Fed's reserve management purchases. So we were highlighting how one of the things that we use to track, we have a litany of indicators that we use to track conditions in funding markets. And I would say the easiest indicator for most investors to interpret is the SOFR IRB spread. And what we've seen since September, since late September, that's been very spiky and generally positive. After having been persistently negative for years, a persistently negative SOFR IRB spread indicates that there is a ample amount of liquidity in funding markets, such that the funding market participants that don't have access to the interest on reserve balances are willing to still lend money below that level because they have so much money to lend. But whenever that figure is positive, that spread between SOFR and IRB is positive, that ultimately means that they don't have enough money and they are now competing with banks in terms of participating in that market. And so it's just a much tighter funding level of funding conditions and ultimately stress that you typically see at month end and mostly at quarter end as well. But that stress has trended lower at the margins as a function of adding this very large globally systemic important financial institution back into the repo market without any constraints, as well as the Fed's reserve management purchases. I recall they've been doing roughly around $40 billion a month of RMP. They're slated to downshift this month to about $25 billion. We'll see if they do it or not. That's neither here nor there, because the Treasury is expecting them to continue at a pretty robust pace of RMP. So we'll find out more in the coming weeks on that. And then nothing action with respect to our Bayesian priors on the positioning cycle. Continue reviewing to learn whether our institutional grade risk management overlays, KISS and Dr. Mo, are evolving their signals in response to these and our anticipated fundamental dynamics. Transitioning to our 42 micro dashboard, as always, a wrap up with a question from our community. This was not so much a question, but just a comment that I think was worth highlighting in the context of there's been so much activity across not only the global buy side, but also across a lot of retail investor portfolios in recent weeks. There's just been this constant whipsaw of headlines coming out of the Israel-Iran war. What the ultimate goals are for the U.S. administration, what the goals are for a ceasefire, for a cessation of hostilities, and ultimately return to the generally positive conditions that investors were positioned for prior to the conflict. And so one thing I wanted to highlight in the context of this comment was you have to optimize your investing process for achieving your strategic investment objectives. Trading the U.S.-Israel-Iran conflict positively is not something that is going to help you retire on time and comfortably. Your goal should always be to maximize upside capture in trending bull markets and minimize downside capture in trending bear markets if your goal is to have you or your clients, if you manage other people's money, to retire on time and comfortably. You're not going to trade your way. You can count on a few hands. No, not even a few hands. You can count on one hand the few number of investors in history that have traded their way to an on-time and comfortable retirement. It's just not very many people. The data suggests that it's not very many people. Nobel Prize winning research suggests that it's certainly not something any retail investor has proven the ability to do. Your goal is to try to maximize upside capture in trending bull markets and minimize downside capture in trending bear markets. And so you have to organize and optimize your investment and risk management process to achieving those two goals. Everything else is noise. You're either optimized for maximizing upside capture in trending bull markets and minimizing downside capture in trending bear markets, or you're optimized for something else. You cannot optimize for both. And so the reason I bring this comment up to land the plane is to remind investors of what the benefit of optimizing your investment process for those two retirement-focused objectives are. So let me just shut up and read it. I've been following KISS since June of 2023. I think at that time we were KISS 2.0 maybe. So I've been around for a bit. Each year I've had returns of 20% or greater. Two of the 3 years I've outperformed the S&P 500. In those 2 years, that outperformance was by more than 5%. In one of those 2 years, the outperformance was more than 10% relative to the S&P 500. In the year that did not beat the S&P 500, it was by less than 5%. Even after last week's losses, which were the most I've ever incurred as a 42 Macro subscriber, I am still beating the S&P 500 year to date. Full disclaimer, during Goldilocks regimes, I've taken some sector and factor risk leveraging Dr. Mo and or resize some positions as KISS allows, but nothing major. So I'll take quote unquote lightning in a bottle, luck, Wizard of Oz, BS, or whatever you want to call it. He's responding to another subscriber who was angry about the losses that we suffered in gold that we talked about, not in this Monday's Macro Minute, but then prior Monday's Macro Minute, I think on the 23rd, perhaps. Check that out, because we did have some signal failure in gold that we apologized for and corrected in terms of enhancing and optimizing the model for future conditions. And so just landing this plane, it says, most importantly, I'm so glad Skipper hasn't wasted a second of our time to address some of the negativity in this thread. So, I say this all the time, the general experience of investors when they come into our ecosystem and when they come join our global investor community is after a while, you finally start to understand what it is that we're doing here from the perspective of optimizing our entire investment process to help investors achieve their strategic investment objectives. Nothing we do here, I guess some of the things we do here, but really focus for our institutional clients, but nothing we do from a KISS standpoint 42 Macro is optimized to help you nail every wiggle in markets, which is what the other investors are upset about. We don't nail every wiggle in markets. We're not trying to nail every wiggle in markets because the people who optimize for that often get nailed by every wiggle in markets. If you're buying research from anybody or risk management signals, we all know what I'm talking about here, from anybody, I'll tell you right now, the general outcome for those people is that they get nailed, eventually start to get nailed by every wiggle in markets because nobody selling emails can nail every wiggle in markets. That's the stuff that Jim Simons does. That's the stuff that Steve Cohen does. And they have billions of dollars of resources to help them do that. So if you're buying emails from somebody that tickles your amygdala and convinces you that you're going to nail every wiggle in markets, you're the one who's going to get nailed and they're the one who's going to get rich off of your subscription fees. Your goal isn't to make me or anyone else rich off of subscription fees. Your goal should be to retire on time and comfortably. And the only way you're going to retire on time and comfortably is to maximize upside capture in trending bull markets and minimize downside capture in trending bear markets, which is exactly what KISS does on a multi-year time horizon. Again, let me read this again. This person says, I've been following KISS since the June of 2023. I think at that time we were at KISS 2.0 maybe, so I've been around for a bit. Each year I've had returns of 20% or greater. Two of those 3 years I have outperformed the S&P 500. In two of those years that the outperformance was by more than 5%. In one of those 2 years, the outperformance was by more than 10%. In the year that did not beat the S&P 500, it was by less than 5%. Even after last week's losses, which were the most I have ever incurred as a 42 macro subscriber, I am still beating the S&P 500 year to date. So this is what KISS does. I quite frankly don't know what everyone else is doing out there. I don't have time to explain, but I have reviewed enough Nobel Prize winning research to show that if your goal is to nail every wiggle in markets or every Trump, Taco Trump tweet, then I tell you right now, you're not going to retire on time or comfortably. But if you want to retire on time and comfortably, I think you should join this person in participating in KISS. All right, so we'll wrap it up there. Darius Dell here presenting our Macro Minute for Wednesday, April 1st, 2026. I'm going to be offline tomorrow preparing our monthly macro scouting report for our global investor community, which will be out Friday afternoon after the jobs report. So if you want to see us connect the dots on all the things that matter from a forward-looking perspective across these six key macro cycles, growth, inflation, monetary policy, fiscal policy, liquidity, positioning, that's where our deep dive fundamental research lives in those monthly macro scouting reports. Definitely come check that out tomorrow afternoon. So I'm excited to put that together for our audience tomorrow and publish that on Friday. So everyone have a wonderful day out there. We will catch back here on Friday. Cheers.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice. And 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives, or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.